This conference will now be recorded.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to tonight's September 12, 2022 regular city council meeting. You'd all please rise for a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing upon this city and wisdom as our city council makes its decisions tonight. And now, if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving now to item 1D, which is citizen input for council meeting tonight. Is there any resident who would like to address the city council? Yes, Jake Mendez Jr.
Hello, I'm Jake Mendez Jr. I reside here at Othello, Washington. I'm an ACLU member and an activist for the community of Othello. I just want to give my deepest condolences to a member we lost here in the community of Othello, named Artemio Cortez. And we lost him over the weekend due to a vehicle and bicycle accident that we don't know who's responsible. And I'm hoping that the Adams County Sheriff's and the Othello Police Department find and apprehends the suspect or suspects regarding that. And also, I want to give a huge thanks to the Adams County Pet Rescue that have did their brave efforts in taking care of his dog, which he is in good condition. A little injured, but he's doing okay. What I did was, in honor of Mr. Cortez, is I've created a care package for him and his dog to have Adams County Pet Rescue as well to use those items to take care of him. And I just wanted to make it aware that, you know, we lost a community member here, and I just want to say his dog Bolo is in good care of hands with Adams County Pet Rescue, and I wanted to give a huge thanks to them and their efforts and securing the dog and making sure he's doing well. And I hope the justice comes to Mr. Cortez, and the hope that, you know, he deserves. And hopefully someone, somewhere, or some people could find their morals and could either turn themselves in as well. So I just wanted to address that to the city council. Thank you.
Thank you, Jake. Is there any other citizens who'd like to address the city council? Let's move now to item 1E, roll call. And for the record, Councilwoman Maria Quesada and Councilman Angel Garza are absent tonight. I'd entertain a motion to excuse both council members from our meeting tonight.
I'll make a motion to excuse them.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Approval of the agenda. Before we take a motion on that, I just wanted council to know that we had changed this a couple times during the day to, I think, we wanted to include, we've moved from the consent agenda the railroad utility crossing change order, and I wanted council to know. So with that, is there anything else anybody wants to do or change, or should we just approve our agenda at this, what we have written down?
I'll make the motion to approve the agenda.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And item 3 is our consent agenda. I'd entertain a motion to approve tonight's consent agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And on our current business, item 4A, we are now getting geared up. Spencer is, and the department heads and staff have been working on their budgets for the 2023 season. And so Spencer, you want to reveal that schedule that you have set up for the council?
Yes, thank you very much. This is a continuation of the conversation that we started last Monday night. Hopefully you've had a chance to look at your schedules and look at this list. I've made some changes per our discussion at our last meeting. Items 2 and 3, you'll see, are reversed, and I think it was items 5 and 6 that we changed as a result of some scheduling conflicts that were brought up at our last meeting. With that, this is the schedule that we can follow, or my proposed schedule for our council budget committee meeting roster this year. If, as always, the schedule can change and morph, and as we maybe get to meeting 5, if something isn't working for somebody, we can do a switch with another meeting, or we can work something else out. We're certainly very flexible. With that, if you don't have any other comments or questions or any other adjustments to make, we'll move forward with the schedule as proposed.
Okay. So the first meeting is in 2 weeks, and that first week, of course, is the general government, the street, the law enforcement, and then we'll finish up on the 11th. So thank you, Spencer, for putting that together. Mm-hmm. Council, you can always call us. You can check back here on the board docs to see what the schedule is. We'll be reminding you, send out reminders. We'll provide lunch. Looking forward to this season, so thank you.
And I'll send out a copy, this fresh copy, to your email, too, just so you have it in one more place. So it's a little easier to get. If more, the merrier. Okay.
Spencer. Let's go to item 4B, which is a resolution to authorize the curb planning grant application. Talia.
Hi, Council. So we are looking at applying for a curb grant in the amount of $50,000 to develop an economic development feasibility study that will include a marketing and action plan. Specifically, we want to hire a consultant that will help identify timely and opportunistic target industries for Othello and provide a blueprint for an action plan to identify, reach, and influence target industry companies to locate new facilities in the city. This grant does have a 20% match requirement, which would be a total of $12,500, since our total project cost would be $62,500. ACDC has committed to pay a third of the match requirement, which totals $4,162.50, and so the city's match would total $8,335.50. Questions?
Why only a third for Adams County Development Council?
Because I've been trying to work with the Port of Othello to pay for the other third, and I just can't seem to get them to commit to at the moment. And since our deadline to make application on the grant is September 27th, we need to make a decision tonight to move forward. I am still working to get money, and there's also a private developer that I'm talking to that we might get the other third from. So
this economic feasibility study is just for the city of Othello, or is this for
just for the city of Othello?
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. It's County Development Council only contributing a third. If it doesn't affect anything outside the city, then we would like to see more county participation.
Yeah.
Fine.
Okay. Entertain a motion.
Mm-hmm. I'll make a motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Mm-hmm. John did.
Second.
Gina seconded.
Sorry. I made the motion.
Okay, so now item 4C is the railroad utility crossing change order. And had some unforeseen things take place on that railroad crossing project, and Kurt, our Public Works Director, is going to walk the city council through those and this change orders. Mainly, this is informational, or are we going to require a motion? I think this is just informational, isn't it?
It looks like it.
That needs to be answered, actually.
It requires a motion per the map, per the agenda memo, but I would be curious as to the opening paragraph of why this is a legislative issue and why council wouldn't be needed to approve a change order or contract change.
No, they would.
Well, maybe I'm reading it wrong. It says, although city council approval is not required for a change order, staff is providing this information to keep the council informed.
I think what he means is it's in order to move ahead with a change order, because those take place during the week, you know, during, in between council meetings. I don't know. Kelly, do you have one?
Sure. What I would say is, if it's a budgeted item and the amount that is, with the change order, we're still within the amount that was budgeted and set in the budget by council, then we don't, this does not need to be approved by council. However, if it is outside the budgeted amount, then you would need council approval to authorize that expenditure.
I would beg to argue, Kelly, that anytime you change the language or scope of work in the contract, you're going to need council approval. It's not just a fiscal approval that you need from city council. It's the contractual language and the exposure that the city's put under by signing those. Okay. That would be my argument.
Yeah. Can I make a comment? Mm-hmm. One of the reasons we moved it from the consent agenda to an agenda to be voted on is that we had questions of the validity of the change order. We went out to bid on this job. There was a couple of people from locally that made the bid, and this was the lowest bid. And it was the lowest bid by a couple thousand dollars. But is what we're seeing after we've gotten into it in the scope of work that should have been done under the bid?
It is. I can kind of explain that if you need to, the whole job. I was actually the one who did all the design work. We worked 2.5 years trying to get the permit for the railroad. The records that we had to go off of were basically the drafted sewer plan by our former consultant. So when I designed that, I would basically use that as the base. And then we went out and got design locates, which matched up with the gas, the water, and everything in that crossing matched up with the drawings I was working off of. And being in the railroad, you can't go in and do pothole. You can't work in that railroad without the permit. So this contract was let without being able to do due diligence in finding the actual services. The first day we were on the project, on the south side of the highway, working to from Moon Road, the sewer existing manhole to the east side of the tracks. In the plans, it specified that that manhole was stubbed out, but that there was an 18-inch stub out of that manhole, and we weren't able to get Public Works to verify that. And when we got there and they dug in, it wasn't. So we had to they had to core it. They had some additional work to do on that. When we got across the railroad tracks and started to set the manhole, the gas line was located 3 or 4 times on the south side, and I can't think of that road that goes by. Mm-hmm. Pagrin's shop there.
Moon Street.
Is that Moon too, mm-hmm, that extends through?
Yeah.
So on the south side, it was located, and when we went to excavate, I actually was happened to stand there and saw the gas line getting exposed, stopping. And it actually ran right through where we set the designed the manhole. So that slowed the contractor down, did some movement, finally figured out we could slide that manhole about a foot and a half, get clearance. So that changed some of the alignment. They had to relay the angle of the casing and everything. That was the first first two incidents as far as included in this change order. When we got over to the north side of the highway working on the storm, Sean was at that point taking over full inspections and everything on this project. Our crew, Public Works, located, it's an AC water line, they located it 20 feet south of where it actually is. And we never could get that potholed and clarified through this whole design process. I questioned it clear back when we started designing this, and there's a meter located on the west side of the tracks, and asked them, you know, because it was a service that was on the south side underneath the highway. And I said, the main's got to be on the north side of this meter. That's only going to make sense. Well, they located it 20 feet south of that. Well, as they were digging, they hit that AC line because it crossed right just at the railroad tracks. So that was the night. Dan's 30 year, so we spent 4 hours repairing that. So then we had a good locate on that one. They got another 50 feet, and that AC had an angle point of 30 degrees and came back to the north again. So it zigzagged across everything that we designed for that storm. So they hit it again. We repaired it again. Sean and I actually talked about it. We added some pipe, put a couple angle points in, and got away from that manhole, so we're able to set the two manholes. But all of that set the contractor back. The water breaking flushed mud into the storm line. They had to go back and clean that. It dislodged the floated storm pipe and the casing, so they had to reset that. So there was several instances that were our worst nightmare as far as doing a project, because we weren't able to actually do due diligence, find those mains, design it properly because of the restrictions, number one, of being able to work in that railroad right of way. So that's basically what's led up to this whole thing. And I believe the permit costs and the inspection fees really ran this project over, way over the budget. I think we were only expecting 20 some thousand to take the tracks out, replace the tracks, pay the inspection fees. And I can't remember what the final figure was. I don't know if the mayor can, but.
More than what we remember, more than what we had budgeted for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So things, budget-wise, were, that's why everything got to where
they
were.
Well,
to this point.
I mean, if you remember too, the iron cost for the track, they weren't even going to give us a price until, 2 days before they were going to purchase it and install it. Mm-hmm. And so, because of the price of iron had been rising and was fluctuating, they didn't want to give us a price until they actually went out and bought it. And so there was just a lot of things that took place that weren't ideal, but nevertheless, where's the project now?
It's completed. We're in punch list phase. There's a couple things they need to repair, but all in all, the final product came out to what we wanted it to be. There's some site cleanup and a couple of the pads that they poured over on Moon Street they did protect them, we got ran over and busted up, those got to be replaced.
But we have to.
Over the storm and sewer, yes, on that corner. Those are going to get replaced. In the contract, it's also supposed to be 4 inches and 5/8 placed all over. That hasn't taken place, they haven't shaped that, haven't placed that stuff, so. I sent Sean my punch list last week, so we'll be working on that this week as far as.
Is the change orders are being awarded to the contractor, or is this a change order amending the final contract price that we awarded as council to engineering?
It would be amending the final, the contract, because you're adding to that contracted price.
Okay, so this $25,244.43 is not going to ICW.
Why would you say that?
I don't know. I'm asking.
It is. It's not like we asked them to do additional work. It's things that happened were unforeseen.
That's what Councilman Lawless, I get, that's what, but that was the question. Was it in their scope originally, and maybe it was an oversight on their part, and if this $25,000 is something that they're requesting for the addition, what they believe is an additional claim to the work? Or is this $25,000, because the way I read it, and what you just said earlier, and like I said, I want to make sure I'm clear, you went over budget, is this like a reconciling to make everything whole as far as council approvals, or is this document that will the mayor sign the change order for $25,000 to ICW directly? Or is this going to just make the budget whole? I guess I don't understand.
Well, basically, there was a cost overrun on the project. Right. And if you go back to the agenda memo, it explains what the three reasons were. So there was some additional cost. There was some items that were, there was a water line that was 20 feet off what the drawings and the city prints were. There was other items that we had to pick up, and they when they're not aware of them, I mean, they're depending upon our drawings and our locates, and they weren't accurate.
In how we get to this, it's not they submit this bill and we pay it. I mean, this is worked out. Each item we go through and discuss and make it equitable. But these are not items that any of the contractors would have put in their bid.
Fair enough. But so this money is set as an equitable adjustment to the contractor's contract.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I was, it's not just a reconciliation for the project budget as a whole. It's for the contractor's contract with the city of Othello.
Correct.
And he proceeded with the work without approval of that change order to completion. So he's kind of in a rock and a hard spot right now.
Well, he moved forward on the engineer's approval.
He probably did it with authorization from the, you know, Sean and Kurt.
Yeah.
That's why I was asking.
I can see this happening, you know, you get in there and you hit something because it was in the wrong location and you got to repair it. You can't leave it. Oh, you can't leave it as is. So you gotta let him repair it. Now you guys said you repaired the first break on the AC line.
Yeah.
And so the item 29 and 30, those are earthwork from the contractor that was there.
Yeah.
To help you, because he was already on site. And at the time that you were doing the work, you guys authorized him to go ahead and.
Right. One, it's the groundwater and everything's in there. You have equipment in there. You're not going to get more equipment in there. They were there. So they cleaned it out so our guys could get in there. Sean and I both directed them to, you know, ask them to help and get this reconciled so they could move forward with their job.
And probably save us money in delays, contractor delays, because right. They're mobilized on site at this point.
They are, and when there's a time frame, I'm just thankful that the rail was down at this time, because these were scheduled for 3-day shutdowns over the weekend. Now that we had a lot more time to deal with this stuff, being that the rail was not in operation. So we, in that aspect, we were very fortunate.
I have a clear understanding now. That makes sense.
So they actually had to replace the rail and the ties and everything?
Yeah.
Why didn't they just cut a section out and remove it?
Because that's not the way the rail does it.
That's the way, when we did it, they did.
We don't have control over the rail.
Okay, but they did that, they've done that in other circumstances.
I'm just saying the railroad.
They literally come in, cut the rails.
Pull it apart.
Take the whole thing up, move it off and out of the way.
Right.
And then go get it, bring it back and fusion weld it.
What's that?
They CAD weld it together.
No, this is all pinned and bolted.
No, they actually weld them together with the fusion.
Even when they remove those sections.
Yep.
Anyway, it's not our call at that point, it's theirs. And unfortunately, the rail is.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Kurt, I have a question for you. Last Wednesday, I sent you a message about a leak down there.
Uh-huh.
Did you go down there and take a look at that? I sent that to you as a public works, not as an engineer.
Right.
But did you go down and look at that?
Yeah, we went down and looked at that.
So there's still standing water down there?
It's groundwater that's down there.
It's something.
Two months ago, I got a hold of them and there was a leak in a pipe down there.
You're.
Well,
where you were, where there was water running out behind the corner of that building, is that where you were talking about?
No, right there outside of the manhole that
was. Oh, in Moon Road?
Yes.
Yes, they busted that service line going back to that house. So that is a private line and that was supposed to be repaired.
How's that a private line?
Because it is on the back side of the meter.
Mm-hmm.
That meter, I'm not going to answer. It's in the right of way. It's not our right of way. That's railroad. That's state right of way. I don't know how they got private to do that. That's what.
Or it just got put in and nobody.
It's a PVC line that runs from that meter. On the north side and runs up and around Moon Road, down the feed, that service.
So are they going to fix it?
Is it still wet down there?
Yeah, we're down there today, but they're still standing water now.
Okay, they're supposed to fix that.
So
Sean will be back in the morning. I'll touch base with him on that.
Mm-hmm.
So the contractor actually broke it.
So why didn't the contractor fix it?
That he's supposed to be fixing it.
Okay, that's why I asked.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Hold on. Why would the contractor fix something that's installed potentially illegally? Are we paying for that? The contractor
no.
come fix
contractor
it?
Would be responsible.
He said he was going to fix it. Out of the kindness of his heart, fix it.
Well,
right
he broke it.
He's broken. That's his
but
bond.
But they're not supposed to be there.
That doesn't anything that you break in your contract in there that
you
they
have
don't
to repair it.
That fact that who's and. Whose it is, and if it's in the right way, if it's legal or illegal, that bears nothing on. If you break it, you fix it.
Okay, well, that's a pretty stringent, and I think that would beg some challenges in the claims court, but I won't argue that. If he's willing to do it, fine. On that sense, though, is there damage to any city property with this leak? You mentioned that it's pretty wet.
Yeah, there's standing water. Not a whole lot of standing water.
So if there's a line down there,
and
it's not supposed to be there, is there a bigger issue?
Lot,
he said it's not in the road.
It's like a 1-inch service that's cracked.
Two months ago, there was another break in that same. It's got to be. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's got to be that same line, isn't it?
Actually, your first one we were talking about was actually the AC main leaking.
Oh. Okay.
The second, this one you're talking about now, that I believe is the service line that's on the south side of this meter. So, it's two different issues.
Yeah.
If the contractor's willing to do it, that's on him. I'm that hungry contractor that would have said absolutely not.
But you just glue a plug on it and then it stops leaking.
Yep, right?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Hello, Maureen.
All clear with me now. Kurt, and I appreciate you clarifying whether it was a reconciliation.
So, Corey, did you have anything else?
No, thank you.
Do you want to make a motion?
I'll make...
To approve this change order?
I'll make the motion to approve the change order.
I'll second.
Any further discussion?
Where are you coming from? Water sewer?
Excuse me?
You coming out of sewer fund? Water main sewer? Split? Okay.
It's two parts sewer, one part water.
All right.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, so just, I do want to go back to the agenda memo. Okay, so I think, again, I think what Sean O'Brien means is that rather that he authorized, like John said, the contractor to move forward, otherwise we wait or hold a special meeting in order to approve this, this work to go ahead. You guys know your role. Anything new, anything like this, council has to approve it. Okay, let's go to D. 4D is the ordinance establishing a municipal court, and tonight we have with us our city attorney, Kelly Conkright. And the city is prepared to review this ordinance tonight. And Kelly, do you want to walk the city council through this?
Sure, you bet. There's a lot here. I don't know if you've all had a chance to go through it or how much of a chance you've had. But just a reminder of how we got here. So earlier this summer, I believe it was July, Adams County informed us that they were no longer going to, or they weren't going to renew our contract for incarceration, adjudication, and prosecution of misdemeanor crimes, adult misdemeanor crimes within the city of Othello, which they have done for, well, I think forever as far as anybody here is concerned. Yeah. And so that requires us to create our own municipal court. I think as we've discussed before, the revised code of Washington requires cities to be responsible for the prosecution of adult misdemeanors occurring within their city limits, but they do not allow the city authority to enforce state laws. So the second piece of this that we'll be probably be bringing, well, our goal is to bring it before council at the last council meeting of September, will be the adoption of a city code, a city criminal code that will basically incorporate those crimes in the RCW, the revised code of Washington, that we want to enforce within our city limits. And that's what we will be in for. That is the criminal code that this municipal court will be enforcing, which is the court that this ordinance will create. In putting this together, I looked through various cities who have created their own municipal court, took a look at the, of course, had to study the pertinent statutes, most importantly, RCW, well, it's Title III, Chapter 50. And this ordinance, it does cover everything that we need. It's pretty exhaustive research, particularly looking at what other cities have done with the code. There's a lot in this. I mean, not only do we have to set up the court and the judge and the court staff, but we need to coordinate with, we've got to create a seal of the court. We need to coordinate with the office of, the administrative office of the courts. And we got to coordinate a lot of systems. So this is just one little piece. I mean, it's a very important piece and it's essential for us to move forward. Once we pass this, we'll be able to hire a judge. Actually, we're required to hire a judge within 30 days of passing this. And so we're in the process of working on that. We have been. So it's not as if we're waiting to pass this before we jump, go down that road. We're doing a lot of things in concert together, trying to make sure that this all happens by January 1st, which is when it needs to happen because midnight, December 31st, the county is no longer involved in any of our criminal justice issues at the misdemeanor level. So happy to answer any questions anybody has. I mean, I could walk through this section by section. A lot of it is mundane and technical. But if there's any questions anybody had, I'm certainly happy to address those and answer those.
City Council? I think it's an excellent job, Kelly.
Thank you. One thing I will say that I will notice, as I was talking to the mayor before the meeting tonight, is that on the first page, you'll see in the recitals, and actually the third recital, there's a blank there. That's because I could not recall, and I could not tell from my notes what month we were notified, but I believe that was July, so that would be an amendment.
July 14th.
I think we should just put the date, or the month, though. We don't have to have the exact date. And there is one more typo I saw that my legal assistant made. If you look at the second page, under the table of contents, you'll see a paren A in the center there. That should not be there, and I don't know how it got in there, but that needs to be taken out. If you look at the second page, right underneath the table of contents, you'll see there's a capital A in parentheses. Yeah, right there. So that needs to be removed.
So we can approve this with both of those changes included?
We can. I would say the form of the motion, you know, would be to adopt this new ordinance with the change to the recitals and, you know, identifying the month of July and deleting the paren A on page 2. July right there, correct.
Okay, I'll make a motion to adopt the ordinance with said changes.
Okay. Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you.
Aye.
Hi, Maria.
Okay, now as we move to item 4E.
Hello.
Our City Council, we'd had this discussion this summer about annexing some properties into the city, city-owned property, and we were going to work on a larger scale annexation later. And so Anne has actually been very diligent and gone through this process. There were some notifications, there was some advance work that she had to do on this, and I'm really pleased with what she's put together. So Anne, do you want to tell the council a little more?
Sure. So state law allows a city to annex property when it's owned by the city and used for a municipal purpose. So we have those four sites that are numbered for you that meet that qualification. As I mentioned in the memo, there's a couple other sites the city owns, but they're not yet zoned. And so we have to go through another process with those where we hold a public hearing to determine the zoning. But these four can be done just with an ordinance and a majority vote of the council. And so once that's done, I'll do the formal notifications and move this process along. But it's a very simple, most annexations are much more complicated. This kind of an annexation is super simple.
For educational purposes, what does that mean? I get it, what it means to annex it in, but does that change operations? Really, education. What does that mean for the
city? So the big difference is then it's within the city's jurisdiction, and then so city laws take effect. They can have police enforcement, code enforcement. That's really the biggest thing. It is then part of the city, just as if it were. And some of them are islands,
subject to our ordinances and rules.
Okay. Right, rather than being part of the
building
county
perfect. And enforcement. Okay, so let's walk through what we're annexing. We're gonna annex well number 8, which is out here on the corner of Lee and 14th Avenue.
Okay.
The parcel, which is known, number 2, which is known as Tagaris Park. Parcel 3 is the old dog pound, which is that little square up by the canal and on Cunningham Road, just outside, past the railroad tracks. Then also this section of the canal right away. The city actually owns this piece of property from Cunningham Road down to Highway 26. We certainly want, while we're at it, we might as well annex that piece of property into the city. And that was the first map.
Yeah, the other one is just close-ups of all those pieces.
Okay.
And just to clarify the zoning, we've already designated in our comprehensive plan what the future zoning would be, and so then we're just adopting that formally as zones as part of this ordinance.
Any questions, council? Okay, thank you, Ann. All those in, I need a motion.
I'll make a motion to adopt ordinance 1583 NNC city-owned properties.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Aye.
Thank you, Maria. We have an item of unfinished business which Police Chief Phil Shank has handed out as regard to our police vehicles. Phil, do you want to explain?
Thank you, Mayor.
Council,
last fall when we approved the budget, there were three police cars included in that budget. Those were ordered at that time. We have still not received them. They have not started to build them. And as of Thursday last week, they canceled the order. So in their explanation, or they actually didn't provide explanation, they told us that if we wanted to stay in the queue to get those three police cars, we needed to order them by the following day. We did, okay, and when we plugged that in, we found that the $56,000 police cars that we had specced, and that is it's about an 80% complete car, maybe 90. We still have to put a radio, computer, and the camera system in it at that point, which we do locally. When we redid the order, the price of the cars is now almost $74,000. And that's, again, an 80% car. So we did order those with the understanding that we can cancel that order if council asks us to. They also suggested that we order our next year's cars, too, to get them in the queue, because it's going to take, they suspect, quite a while to get it done. So we also ordered those, the two cars that we will present to budget. Now, I understand that you know, council, and they understand we can cancel this. So we're not obligated. I've not obligated funds. We can get out of that, probably much like Ford did to us. At this point, we are researching. I know that we can buy vehicles from Houston Galveston, HGAC buy. We're looking to see if local orders would be cheaper. But the issue that we're facing right now is we have no idea when we're going to get these police cars. We now have five in the order queue. So I wanted to bring that to council's attention. The unfortunate piece is they're $18,000 a piece more. So, with some of the previous proposals that we've made with the car camera, car cameras and body cameras that council approved, the fact that I believe now our computers are automatically on a reorder schedule, a life expectancy schedule, and there was one other thing that I think it was. Anyways, we'll be able to reduce that cost to upgrade a little bit when they get here, $2,500 to $3,000 or $4,000 maybe. But it's a lot more money than we planned. Now, we also looked at whether or not, I mean, if we can save more money by discontinuing the hybrid option that we've been doing. The last bunch of police cars that we've ordered are hybrids. And to look at the cost effectiveness of that, that's about a $3,000 increase of cost to get the hybrid. We pulled a sample of the hybrids and a sample of the non-hybrids to look at the miles per gallon. And you can see my formula here. But for 10,000 miles driven, which is not unreasonable for some of our police cars, and I'm not currently sure what the price that our contract price for gas is. I put in a number of $4.30, but with a 16-mile-per-gallon car, which is what our hybrids are getting, that's about $2,688 of gas a year. And with a non-hybrid, we're getting about 6 miles to the gallon, which is about $7,167. So there's a significant, for that $3,000 spread over 8 years, $375 a year, we're making up for it with the hybrid option. So it's still a cost-effective, it's worth doing, that's what I'm saying. So the reason that we did it wasn't just the gas mileage, it was the fact that police cars are running, you know, when they get here, 10 hours a day, and that's to keep the battery, the computer charged, the, you know, lights if we're on a crime scene, that kind of stuff. So the hybrids turn themselves on and off as they need to keep their battery charged, where a gas engine just needs to keep running. So at this point, that's informational, but if I would also, if council has direction that they want this order canceled, then I would do that at any time.
One of the things with the hybrid cars, so we might need to look into something because as green as Washington State is trying to go, the state of Washington, might, and with this increase, it's going to hurt. The state of Washington, if we go with the hybrids, may be able to find some money for that.
We'll watch for that, no. Yeah. Work with Talia as we keep moving forward. Thank you.
Do we have any other unfinished business, Council?
I don't know if it's unfinished business, but I wanted to throw this out. Yeah, it would be unfinished business. Okay. Tagaris Park was an absolute success this weekend for the opening day of soccer. That park looks wonderful, so congratulations to Public Works, Parks and Rec, and everybody else that was involved in that. And I think that we're going to have a continuing success as our program grows and that facility down there for soccer, as well as the preservation of our very expensive and nice baseball fields up here. I think that it was a very good move, and I just wanted to throw it out there. It was an awesome event this weekend down there.
Thank you.
Kudos to our new Parks and Rec director.
Yeah, and our Parks and Rec director did a fabulous job. She was running all over down there.
Yeah.
I felt bad for her, but she took the job, so.
Right.
Her Parks and Rec coordinator.
Yes.
Yeah. She did a great job. And having the kids run through a tunnel, being announced, I'll tell you what, that swelled some heads up. They thought they were cool.
Anyone else? Is there any new business tonight, Council? Okay. Having no further business, I'll conclude tonight's meeting at 6:48 p.m.